Chapter 24 Enlightenment. One cannot attain enlightenment without having cultivated the right conditions. We read in the Kindred Sayings 5, Mahavagga, Book 11, Kindred Sayings on Stream Winning, Chapter 1, Paragraph 5, Sariputta, about four conditions for becoming a Sotapanna, stream winner. The sutta states, and I quote, "Now the Venerable Sariputta went to see the Exalted One, and on coming to him, saluted him and sat down at one side. To the Venerable Sariputta so seated, the Exalted One said thus, 'A limb of stream winning, a limb of stream winging, is the saying, Sariputta. Tell me, Sariputta, of what sort is a limb of stream winning?' 'Lord, association with the upright is a limb of stream winning. Hearing the good Dhamma is a limb of stream winning. Applying the mind is a limb of stream winning. Conforming to the Dhamma is a limb of stream winning.' 'Well said, Sariputta. Well said, Sariputta. Indeed, these are limbs of stream winning. Now again, Sariputta, they say, the stream, of what sort is the stream, Sariputta? 'The stream, Lord, is just this Aryan Eightfold Way, to wit, right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration.' 'Well said, Sariputta. Well said, Sariputta. The stream is just this Aryan Eightfold Way.' 'Now again, Sariputta,' they say, 'stream winner, stream winner. Of what sort is a stream winner, Sariputta?' 'Whosoever, Lord, is blessed with this Aryan Eightfold Way, such an one of such a name, of such and such a clan, is called stream winner.'" End of quote. The first condition, association with the righteous person, is most important. It would not be possible to find the right path by oneself. Only Buddhas have accumulated such wisdom that they can find the path by themselves without the help of a teacher. Other people, however, need the teachings of a Buddha in order to find the right path, because ignorance has been accumulated for an endlessly long time. We need association with the right person, the good friend in Dhamma, who can point out to us the right path, because our defilements prevent us from finding the right path. Our friend in Dhamma can encourage us to develop right understanding of Nama and Rupa. The question may arise what one should do if one is not able to find the right friend in Dhamma. Is reading the scriptures not a condition to find the path leading to enlightenment? It is true that reading the scriptures is also very helpful, since they can encourage us to be mindful of Nama and Rupa in daily life. We might, however, interpret the teachings in the wrong way. It depends on conditions whether we come into contact with the right person who can help us to understand the teachings as well as the practice in according with the teachings. Accumulated kusalagama can be the condition for us to meet the right person. When we have heard the Dhamma from the right person, we should apply the mind. This is the third condition. We should not blindly follow the person who teaches us Dhamma, but we should investigate the scriptures ourselves, ponder over the Dhamma, and consider it carefully in order to test the truth. The real test of the truth is the practice itself. Therefore, the fourth condition is conforming to the Dhamma, which is the development of the Eightfold Path. By being mindful of the phenomena appearing through the six doors, we can find out ourselves whether it is true that these phenomena are only Nama and Rupa arising because of conditions. We can investigate ourselves whether they are impermanent or permanent, whether they are dukkha or happiness, whether they are non-self, anatta, or self. We can find out through the practice itself whether we really understand the teachings. If we practice in the wrong way, we may eventually find out that this does not lead to right understanding of the realities of our eight daily life. Through the development of the Eightfold Path, we will have more confidence, sadha, in the Buddhist teachings. We will have more confidence when we experience that through right understanding of nama and rupa in daily life, there will be less clinging to self. Lokottara cittas cannot arise without the cultivation of the right conditions. Some people wish for an end to dukkha, but they do not develop understanding in daily life. They hope that one day Lokottara cittas will arise. The Buddha pointed out that the realization of the Four Noble Truths is difficult, and he said this not in order to discourage people, but in order to remind them not to be heedless. We read in the Kindred Sayings, 5, Mahavagga, Book 12, Kindred Sayings about the Truths, Chapter 5, Paragraph 5, The Keyhole, that when the Buddha was staying at Visali in Great Grove, Ananda went into Visali on his rounds for alms food. In Visali, he saw the Lachavi youths practicing archery. He then went to see the Buddha and said, and here I quote, "Here, Lord, robing myself in the forenoon, and taking bowl and outer robe, I set out for Visali on my begging rungs. Then, Lord, I saw a number of Lachavi youths in the gymnasium, making practice at archery, shooting even from a distance through a very small keyhole, and splitting an arrow, shot after shot, was never amiss. And I said to myself, Lord, practice shots are these Lachavi youths. Well, practice shots indeed are these Lachavi youths, to be able, even at a distance, to splint an arrow through a very small keyhole, shot after shot, was never amiss. Now what think you, Ananda, which is the harder? Which is the harder task to compass? To shoot like that, or to pierce one strand of hair 100 times divided with another strand? Why, Lord, of course to split a hair in such a way is the harder, much the harder task. Just so, Ananda, they who penetrate the meaning of this is dukkha, this is the arising of dukkha, this is the ceasing of dukkha, this is the practice that leads to the ceasing of dukkha, pierce through something much harder to pierce. Wherefore, Ananda, you must make an effort to realize this is dukkha, this is the arising of dukkha, this is the ceasing of dukkha, this is the practice that leads to the ceasing of dukkha." End of quote. One might feel discouraged when reading this sutta. It would seem that it is impossible to attain enlightenment. However, if one develops the right path, not the wrong path, one will realize the Four Noble Truths. One will attain enlightenment. The way to realize the Four Noble Truths is to be mindful of the realities which appear now. Seeing, visible object, lopa, dosa, or any other reality. We should not be discouraged when we do not seem to make rapid progress. Many people cling to a result, and they become impatient when they do not notice an immediate result. Clinging to a result, however, is not helpful for the development of wisdom. It is a kusala. Some people feel that the development of samatha can give a more immediate result. Samatha, when it has been developed in the right way, has tranquility as its result. When jhana is attained, lopa, dosa, and moha are temporarily eliminated. However, the attainment of jhana is extremely difficult, and many conditions have to be cultivated. If one develops samatha, the 5 hindrances are bound to arise. There will be sensuous desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness, worry and doubt, until access concentration or jhana have been attained. The aim of vipassana is not tranquility, but the eradication of wrong view and eventually of all defilements. This goal may seem far off, but each short moment of right awareness of nama and rupa is very fruitful. It will help to eliminate clinging to the concept of self. While one is mindful, there are no lopa, dosa, or moha. Although tranquility is not the aim of vipassana, at the moment of right mindfulness, there is kusala citta, and kusala citta is accompanied by calm. Vipassana, or insight, is the development of right understanding of all namas and rupas which present themselves in daily life. Insight is developed in different stages, and in the course of its development, the characteristics of nama and rupa will be understood more clearly, and their arising and falling away will be known through direct experience. When insight has been developed stage by stage, the nama and rupa which present themselves through the six doors can be clearly seen as impermanent, dukkha, and non-self, anatta. When panya has been developed to the degree that enlightenment can be attained, the unconditioned reality, nibbana, is directly experienced. The direct experience of nibbana is different from thinking about nibbana. Nibbana is directly experienced during a mind or process of cittas. Nibbana cannot be experienced through any of the five senses. It can be experienced only through the mind door. In the process during which enlightenment is attained, the mano dharavajana citta, the mind door adverting consciousness, takes as its object one of the three characteristics of reality, impermanence, dukkha, or anatta. This means that the reality presenting itself at that moment is seen either as impermanent or as dukkha, or as anatta. Anicca, dukkha, and anatta are three aspects of the truth of conditioned realities. Thus, if one sees one aspect, one also sees the other aspects. However, the three characteristics cannot be experienced at the same time, since citta can experience only one object at a time. It depends on one's accumulations which of the three characteristics is realized in the process of cittas during which enlightenment is attained. One person views the reality appearing at the moment as impermanent, another as dukkha, and another again as non-self, anatta. The mano dharavajana citta, mind-door adverting consciousness, of that process adverts to one of these three characteristics and is then succeeded by three or four cittas, which are not yet lokottara cittas, but maha kusala cittas, that is, kusala cittas of the sense sphere, accompanied by panya. As a footnote, see Visuddhimagga, chapter 21, 129-136, and also the path of discrimination, Patisambhidhammagga, 1, treatise on knowledge, Chapter 6, Chapter 10, end of footnote. The first Mahakusa citta, which is called Parigama or preparatory consciousness, still has the same object as the Mano Dharavajana citta. Whichever of the three characteristics of conditioned realities the Mano Dharavajana citta adverted to, the Parigama realizes that characteristic. The parigama is succeeded by the upachara, or proximity consciousness, which still has the same object as the mano dharavajana citta. This citta, the second mahakusala citta in that process, is nearer to the moment the lokottara cittas will arise. The upachara is succeeded by the anuloma, which means conformity or adaptation. This citta still has the same object as the mano dharavajana citta. Anuloma is succeeded by gotrabhu, which is sometimes translated as change of lineage. This citta is the last kamavachara citta in that process. There is gotrabhu in samatha and vipassana. Gotrabhu is the last kamavachara citta in a process before a citta of another plane of consciousness arises. The other plane of consciousness may be rupa-vachara, e-rupa-vachara, or lukutara. In samatha, gotrabhu is the last Kamavachara Chitta before the Rupa Jhana Chitta or the Arupa Jhana Chitta arises. In Vipassana, Gotrabhu is the last Kamavachara Chitta of the non-Aryan before the Lokottara Chitta arises and he becomes an Aryan. The object of the Gotrabhu arising before the Lokottara Chittas is different from the object of Gotrabhu in Samatha. The Gotrabhu preceding the Lokottara Chittas experiences Nibbana. It is the first Chitta in that process which experiences Nibbana, but it is not Lokottara Chitta. At the moment of Gotrabhu, the person who is about to attain enlightenment is still a non-Aryan. Gotrabhu does not eradicate defilements. Gotrabhu is succeeded by the Magga-Chitta, which eradicates the defilements that are to be eradicated at the stage of the Sotapanna. The Magga-Chitta is the first Lokottara-Chitta in that process of chittas. When it has fallen away, it is succeeded by two or three Pala-Chittas, that is, fruition consciousness, which are the result of the Magga-Chitta and which still have Nibbana as the object. As we have seen, the Magga-Chitta is succeeded immediately by its result in the same process of Chitta. As a footnote, see chapter 23, end of footnote. The Magga-Chitta cannot produce vipaka in the form of rebirth, such as the Kusala-Chitta of the other planes of consciousness. The Pala-Chittas are succeeded by Bhavanga-Chittas. As a footnote, the names of the Chittas arising in the process during which enlightenment occurs are not only in the commentaries, but also in the scriptures, in the Path of Discrimination, and in the Book of Conditional Relations, the Patana. In the Patana, the feeling triplet on the proximity condition are mentioned: Anuloma, Gotrabhu, Magga-Chitta, and two Pala-Chittas. Since different names are given to these Javana-Chittas, we can know their number. The names Parikagama and Upachara do not occur, but the Visuddhimagga 21-130 states that the three first Mahakusala-Chittas in that process can be called by one name. They can be called Anuloma, or repetition, or Parigama, or Upachara. The process where enlightenment occurs is not an ordinary process. It is a process with different types of Chitta performing the function of Javana. Still, this example makes it clearer than the commentaries when they stated that there are usually seven Javana Chittas in a process. Base this on the canonical tradition, see chapter 14, end of footnote. Some people do not need the moment of Parigama, preparatory consciousness, and in that case, three moments of Pala-Chitta arise instead of two moments. Summarizing the Chittas in the process during which enlightenment is attained, they are the following: Mano-Dhavarajana Chitta, Parigama, that is, preparatory consciousness, for some people, not necessary. Upachara, that is, proximity consciousness. Anuloma, that is, conformity or adaptation. Gotrabhu, that is, change of lineage. Magga-Chitta, Pala-Chitta, that is, two or three moments, depending on the individual. Nibbana can be the object of Kamavachara-Chittas, which arise after the Lokottara-Chittas have fallen away. Before someone becomes an Aryan, there can only be speculation about Nibbana. For the Aryan, however, it is different. Since he has directly experienced Nibbana, he can review his experience afterwards. We read in the Visuddhimagga 22:19 that the person who attained enlightenment reviews, after the Lokottara-Chittas have fallen away, the path, the fruition, the defilements which have been abandoned, the defilements which are still remaining, and Nibbana. He reviews these things in different mind or processes of Chitta. Some people think that enlightenment could not occur in daily life. They believe that it is necessary to be in a solitary place in order to attain Nibbana. The development of vipassana is the development of right understanding of all realities occurring in daily life. When panya has been developed to the degree that enlightenment can be attained, enlightenment can occur in the middle of one's daily activities. As we have seen, the attainment of enlightenment is only a few moments of citta which arise and fall away within split seconds. We read in the Discourse to Dighanaka, middle-length sayings, 2, number 74, that the Buddha taught Dhamma to the wanderer Dighanaka on the Vulture's Peak near Rajagaha. He taught him about the getting rid of wrong views and about the impermanence of conditioned realities. Sariputta, who was an Aryan but had not yet attained arahatship, was also present at the time of that discourse. We read, and I quote, "Now at that time the Venerable Sariputta was standing behind the Lord, fanning the Lord. Then it occurred to the Venerable Sariputta, 'The Lord speaks to us of getting rid of these things and those by means of super knowledge. The welfarer speaks to us of casting out these things and those by means of super knowledge.' While the Venerable Sariputta was reflecting on this, his mind was freed from the kankas without clinging. But to the wanderer, Dighanaka, there arose the stainless, spotless vision of Dhamma, that whatever is of the nature to arise, all that is of the nature to stop." End of quote. Sariputta attained arahatship, but he did not go into solitude in order to attain it. He was fanning the Buddha. Dighanaka listened to the Buddha and then became a Sotapanna. We read in the Kindred Sayings, 3, Khandavaga, Middle 50, Chapter 4, Paragraph 89, Kima, that Kimaka, who was an Anagami, attained arahatship while he was preaching, and monks who were listening attained arahatship as well. We read, and I quote, "Now when this teaching was thus expounded, the hearts of as many as 60 monks were utterly set free from the asavas, and so was it also with the heart of the Venerable Kimaka." End of quote. If one is on the right path, panya can be developed, no matter what the circumstances are, even to the degree of enlightenment. People may wonder whether it would be possible to notice it when a person attains nibbana. But can one see whether someone else is mindful or not mindful? Who knows the cittas of other people? We cannot know when someone else is mindful of nama and rupa or when he attains nibbana. The question may arise whether all four stages of enlightenment, the stages of the Sotapanna, the Sakadagami, the Anagami, and the Arahat, can be attained in the course of one life. We read in the suttas about disciples of the Buddha who attain the Aryan state but not yet Arahatship and realize Arahatship later on in life. Ananda, for example, did not attain Arahatship during the Buddha's life, but he became an arahat after the Buddha had passed away, the evening before the first great council was to start. The illustrator of ultimate meaning, commentary to the Magallana Sutta, or Good Omen Discourse, minor readings, Kudaka Nikaya. The arahat has eradicated all defilements, and thus he has reached the end of the cycle of birth, old age, sickness, and death. He has realized the end of dukkha. The arahat will not be reborn, but he still has to die, and therefore one may ask whether he really has attained the end of dukkha at the moment he realizes arahatship. Even the arahat is subject to death since he was born. He can also experience unpleasant results of a kusalagama committed before he became an arahat. However, he has no more defilements and cannot accumulate any more gama, which might produce vipaka. He is really free from dukkha. In, as it was said, Itivutaka, the Twos, Chapter 2, Paragraph 7, Kudaka Nikaya, two conditions of nibbana are explained. In this sutta, Sa Upadisisa Nibbana, as a footnote, upadi, the five khandhas, sisa, remaining. End of footnote. One condition of nibbana pertains to the arahat who has eradicated all defilements, but for whom the five khandhas are still remaining. For the arahat who has not finally passed away yet, there are still citta, jetasika, and rupa arising and falling away. An upadi, sisa, nibbana. As a footnote, an upadi, sisa, without the khandhas remaining. End of footnote. The other condition of nibbana pertains to the arahat who has finally passed away. For him, there are no khandhas remaining. There are no longer citta, jetasika, and rupa arising and falling away. We read in the verse of this sutta, after the explanation, and I quote, "These two nibbana states are shown by him who sees, who is such and unattached. One state is that in this same life possessed with base remaining, though becoming stream, be cut off. While the state without a base belongs to the future, wherein all beings utterly do come to cease. They who, by knowing this state uncompounded, as a footnote, asankata, the unconditioned reality, end of footnote, have heart's release. By cutting off the stream, they who have reached the core of Dhamma, glad to end, such have abandoned all becomings." End of footnote. When someone has become an arahat, there will be no more rebirth for him. When someone has attained enlightenment to the stage of the Sotapanna, he has become an Aryan, but he has not reached the end of rebirth. The Sotapanna will be reborn, but not more than 7 times. Thus, eventually, there will be an end to rebirth for him. If we do not develop vipassana, the number of rebirths will be endless. It was out of compassion that the Buddha spoke about the dangers of rebirth. He wanted to encourage people to develop right understanding. We read in the Kindred Sayings 5, Mahavagga, Book 12, Kindred Sayings about the Truth, Chapter 5, Paragraph 6, Gross Darkness, that the Buddha said to the monks, and here I quote, "Monks, there is a darkness of interstellar space, impenetrable gloom, such a murk of darkness as cannot enjoy the splendor of this moon and sun, though they be of such mighty magic power and majesty." At these words, a certain monk said to the Exalted One, "Lord, that must be a mighty darkness indeed. Pray, Lord, is there any other darkness greater and more fearsome than that?" "There is indeed, monk, another darkness greater and more fearsome. And what is that other darkness?" "Monk, whatsoever recluses or Brahmins understand not, as it really is, the meaning of, this is dukkha. This is the rising of dukkha. This is the ceasing of dukkha. This is the practice that leads to the ceasing of dukkha. Such take delight in the activities which conduce to rebirth. Thus taking delight, they compose a compound of activities which conduce to rebirth. Thus composing a compound of activities, they fall down into the darkness of rebirth, into the darkness of old age and death, of sorrow, grief, woe, lamentation, and despair. They are not released from birth, old age, and death, from sorrow, grief, woe, lamentation, and despair. They are not released from dukkha, I declare. But monk, those recluses or Brahmins who do not understand as it really is the meaning of, this is dukkha, this is the rising of dukkha, this is the ceasing of dukkha, this is the practice that leads to the ceasing of dukkha, such take not delight in the activities which conduce to rebirth. They are released from dukkha, I declare. Wherefore, monk, an effort must be made to realize, this is dukkha, this is the rising of dukkha, this is the ceasing of dukkha, this is the practice that leads to the ceasing of dukkha. End of chapter 24. This is the final chapter of Abhidhamma in Daily Life by Nina Van Gorkum.